everyone. Welcome into a new episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. It has been a few weeks since we have been in the Enquirer studio to record a video and a podcast episode, and we have a ton to catch up on the Bengals, so we will get straight to it. For the Bengals, it has been a busy March. The last time we talked, it was around the combine, and there was still a lot of decisions to be made in the next couple of weeks. So we're going to catch up on those moves that the Bengals made in the early parts of March, and then we're going to move on to the most recent Bengals news, which came out of the owners' meetings last week. I was there and have lots of storylines to fill you in on. And then now we're going to turn to some draft talk, which I'm super excited about as the draft is nearing closer and closer. I can't believe it's already almost here. So there'll be lots to talk about in this episode. So I'm looking forward to breaking it all down here. So let's start with owners' meetings and what came out of those meetings. This is the annual time that reporters who travel to West Palm Beach this year get a chance to speak to Bengals Executive Vice President Katie Blackburn. And it's always a conversation that I really look forward to because we don't get a chance to hear from her. And as everyone knows, of course, Mike Brown is still very much running the show over at the Bengals. But Katie Blackburn is in charge of almost everything. She has her hands in everything. And she's also the person that negotiates all of the contracts for the Bengals. So I was looking forward to hearing from her because I wanted to learn more about the process that the Bengals went through to be able to sign Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, the latest update on Trey Hendrickson, and just kind of a state of the Bengals. That's how I look at the conversation with Katie Blackburn, because we get a chance to talk to Mike Brown at the Bengals media luncheon that kind of kicks off the season in late July. But Katie, you're able to, in a smaller, less, there's not as many people and there's less cameras. It's just a more intimate setting to be able to talk to her. You're able to ask some things that you maybe might not ask in the media scrum that is with Mike Brown. And so there was a lot of topics covered, and I really enjoyed the conversation with her, and am thankful that she agreed to do it again this year. So let's talk about some highlights from that conversation. If you've been following on Cincinnati.com or reading in the paper, there were a couple of bigger stories that came out of the news from the Bengals from our interview with Katie Blackburn, and the first being the situation with Trey Hendrickson. So let's start there. Let's catch everyone up on the Trey Hendrickson situation. And I thought it would be good to maybe break down a little bit of how the Bengals and Trey Hendrickson got to this situation, because there's been so much conversation since the season ended about what are the Bengals going to do with Trey Hendrickson. But it goes back a couple years. And for those that are listening or watching or reading it and wondering, you know, what really got the Bengals to this point with Trey Hendrickson, I thought that this could be a good opportunity to educate everyone and just bring up some things that might not be talked about that have all led to this situation where the Bengals and Trey are right now, and that is a state of unknown. So let's go back to 2023 in the offseason. Trey Hendrickson wanted a new deal for the Bengals. So the Bengals signed Trey Hendrickson ahead of the 2021 season, and the Bengals went on that magical run to the Super Bowl the next year, the AFC Championship game. And Trey's career really took off. When the Bengals signed him as a free agent, they knew they were getting a good player, but he has ascended in his career, and he's outperformed his current contract is the best way to put it. So he and his agent went to the Bengals about his current contract, and they wanted to rework it. And they felt like he was underpaid for the production that he was giving the Bengals and looking at the market of the edge rushers. So the Bengals were not in a position or didn't want to at that time give Trey a long-term extension in 2023. So to make good of the situation, to push it off a year, this is all from conversations I've had about the situation with a number of people. And the way that Trey Hendrickson and the Bengals compromised on that situation in 2023 in the offseason was to give him a one-year extension, which then gave him an extra year on his four-year contract that he signed with the Bengals. So that's why he is under contract this season. If he hadn't signed that one-year extension, he would have been able to be a free agent in March. If the Bengals opted not to tag him, and it's, you can't predict what would have happened with that, because the Bengals obviously used their tag in the last 2 years on T. Higgins. So would they have chosen to tag T over Trey if they wanted to keep Trey? You know, those are possibilities. But that was how the Bengals started this whole situation with Trey. They gave him a one-year extension, and there are a lot of questions about that decision to sign the extension. There are a lot of people that say, well, Trey and his agent shouldn't have taken that extension if they knew that they wanted to have a chance to go on to become one of the top paid players at the position. And he should have bet on himself. Well, his side of that is, no player wants to go into the final year of their contract with no long-term security. That's just not something that these top athletes want. So if it's hard to turn down more money and security when it's looking at you right in the face, and that's what the Bengals gave him. Sources also have told me that it was, and Trey then went on Pat McAfee, which we'll get to in a couple minutes, and said that there was a conversation with Trey Hendrickson, his representation, and Bengals ownership that if he took that one-year extension, he would be taken care of this offseason in a way that was respectable to the production he's given this franchise. And that's where everything has kind of spiraled since. Trey Hendrickson is saying he was promised a contract that makes him feel good about his situation with the Bengals. And the Bengals are saying, we have given you an extension. There is an extension offer on the table. It's not like the Bengals have said, we're not interested in an extension here for you. The Bengals have given Trey Hendrickson an offer. The problem with the Bengals and Trey Hendrickson isn't about that the Bengals haven't offered him a contract, aren't living up to their word. It is about the number at where this contract stands. And that's where things start to get challenging for both sides, because Trey Hendrickson has been one of the top players at his position and has been the Bengals' best defensive player for the last 3 years. And in a league that is all about the quarterback and your edge rushers, he feels like his production speaks for itself. And that means that he should be in the top percentage of his position. And when you look at the market got a little out of whack with the edge rushers this offseason. And the problem lies with the Bengals want to pay Trey Hendrickson a number that they feel he's worth and that they feel is in their budget. Trey Hendrickson wants a number that is comparable to the top players at his position. And right now, that number isn't there. And that's why there is frustration, and that's why a deal isn't done. They haven't been able to agree on the terms of the contract. And there's a lot of conversations going on behind the scenes, frustration on both sides about why this deal can't get done. But at the end of the day, it goes back to a comment that Duke Tobin said to me at the Senior Bowl, and it was in my exclusive Q&A with him, and that is, you don't give someone a contract extension, you have to agree on it. And that is where things stand with Trey Hendrickson. They haven't been able to agree on what both sides believe is fair. The Bengals have their number and Trey Hendrickson has his number. And right now, I'm not sure when this is going to get solved, because there was the option of the trade, and that was something that I asked Katie Blackburn about in West Palm Beach. I said, for a franchise that typically never trades away really good players, the decision for you guys to allow Trey Hendrickson to seek a trade was interesting. Why did you guys finally decide that that was the right move? And the Bengals side of it was they were told from Trey's side that the interest would be very high, and the Bengals wanted to look into that and see if we don't think that we can find a middle ground with Trey, it might be in our best interest to trade him, because what we could get in return could make up for it. That's where things never got going, because there was a lot of interest league-wide in Trey. And I've reported that multiple times over the last couple of weeks, but the compensation wasn't right for what the Bengals wanted. And so the Bengals hold the cards because he is under contract for the upcoming season. And the way that they look at it as, we're not going to trade away a player that we desperately need. The Bengals want to win a Super Bowl this season. They cannot have the same high hopes without Trey Hendrickson. He's their best defensive player. The defense would be drastically worse without him. And they know that. So they aren't in the business of giving away their best player on defense for a draft pick that they don't feel is in the ballpark of what Trey provides for them. So that's why they're in a little bit of a pickle, and why this situation is so fascinating. Because with Joe Burrow as the franchise quarterback, this team is saying every year we feel like we should be able to compete for a Super Bowl, especially when they went out and signed both of their receivers. They need Trey to do so, but Trey isn't interested in just waiting it out and giving in to the Bengals and saying, I'm just going to take your deal. He wants to be paid at the top of his position. He specifically said, I am not asking to be the highest paid player. So that's important to make sure I put in there that he specifically said that's not what he's asking for. But he looks at the market, and he looks at what Danielle Hunter is getting, and he looks at what Max Crosby is getting. And he's looking at this with his agent, and he's saying, in a lot of ways, I've outperformed these guys from a statistical perspective. And there are so many debates on, is Trey, Max, is he as good as Max Crosby? Is he as well-rounded as him? He's not Myles Garrett, but is he comparable to TJ Watt? Like, the conversations go on and on and on. But at the end of the day, in negotiations, stats are very important and they speak for themselves. So it's hard to imagine a scenario in which Trey Hendrickson doesn't look at the deal that the Texans gave Danielle Hunter and say, I deserve that 100% because I've outperformed him for the last couple of years. Why should I not think that I should get a contract like that? And the Bengals are looking at it and saying, well, we've had to make other decisions of where we're spending our money. And right now, we don't think that we can get there with you. And I don't know if it's a matter of want or they can't with the Bengals when it comes to Trey, but they certainly haven't been able to get to a number that both sides feel they can even like get somewhere right now. So they're at a standstill. And that's where the whole controversial appearance on Pat McAfee came, because Katie Blackburn said, and you can read the story on Cincinnati.com, that at some point Trey needs to be happy with the contract offer that we've given him. And he did not like that. He said the communication has been very poor, and he didn't like the way that that made him feel. And he then went on Pat McAfee the next day and aired out where things stand between the Bengals and him. And in which he said communication has been very poor. He's not trying to be the highest paid player at his position. He just wants what he deserves, and he is looking for long-term security. And that is what I think was the most interesting thing that came out of the conversation with Pat McAfee, is that it is very clear that Trey Hendrickson is not interested in a one, or honestly, I don't even think 2-year deal at this point. Him saying, I want to know where I'm going to live, where I'm going to raise my family. In my opinion, you're not talking about 1 or 2 years. That would be 3, in my opinion. Not reporting that, just talking about it. And the Bengals look at it and say, you're 30. You're going to be 31 in December. Do we want to give, even though you're really good, a player that's aging? Because everybody knows the Bengals aren't typically a team that likes to dish out second contracts to players over 30. Do we want to make that type of long-term investment in a player who's going to be, who would be 33, you know, and there's just no way to know if his production will stay the same? And that's where things get interesting, because I wonder if the middle ground is ends up being years. But if there's a compromise on years, that would mean it's likely going to cost more upfront. And that is where I'd be interested to see where conversations go, if in fact Trey and his camp are willing to compromise on years, which I don't know if they are. So there's still just so much to figure out there, and I don't know when it's going to happen, but there's nobody saying that a trade is off the table. I specifically asked Katie Blackburn that, and she didn't say one way or the other. It very much feels like the Bengals want him to be on the team next year. And I don't see a team with the draft 2 weeks away filled with young edge rushers changing their mind and coming to the Bengals with a great offer 2 weeks before the draft. You can never say never, but it very much feels like a trade isn't something that the Bengals want to do. But Trey has made it very clear he's not interested in taking a hometown discount, and that's what he feels to this point his contract resembles. So where do things go? I don't know, but it doesn't seem to be something that can be resolved right now, because the way that these things work is that the Bengals front office then very much turns their attention to the draft. And it's all hands on deck with the Bengals in the draft. Typically in NFL front offices, when you have a pro personnel side and a college scouting side, the pro personnel guys, yes, they're involved in the draft, but they're able to maybe spend more time working on a situation like this. Right now, for the next 2 weeks, everyone that touches the Bengals football operations, including the front office, is focused on nailing this draft, and all of their attention is going to that. So I don't see a scenario where a deal gets worked out in the next couple of weeks, simply because I don't think that the Bengals are primarily focused on that. And then that brings you to the start of the offseason program. And there's no reason to believe that Trey Hendrickson would show up to a voluntary program when he's not happy with the state of his contract and the state of where things are with his communication with the team. So then you now have a whole nother offseason of contract drama to some degree. And here's the part of that that I want to talk about it. If I'm Zach Taylor and Al Golden, I do not like that Trey Hendrickson isn't going to be there at the start of the offseason program that is voluntary, because although Trey Hendrickson is a vet and he could show up probably a week before a game and be able to play at a high level, he knows the defense inside and out. There are changes Al Golden is going to make, and there are going to be new players that are expected to be important players for the Bengals to get to where they want to be on the defensive side of the ball, that are free agents that Trey maybe has never met, or rookies. And wouldn't you want Trey Hendrickson, your best defensive player, to be there, to be in those meetings, to to be working on this team chemistry that Zach Taylor feels needs to take a step up next year. That's why he said that's something that they're focused on to maybe help with these fast starts. Trey Hendrickson not being there, although it's not that big of a deal, it is noteworthy. And then you go into a situation where if Trey Hendrickson doesn't report to mandatory minicamp, what do you do then? Because that's when everybody goes on vacation and you're still trying to figure out, okay, well, can we get there? And then you're getting close to training camp. And then if you don't know if Trey Hendrickson is going to show up for training camp, those things all lead to problems, but we will get to all of that at another time. But that's just kind of a state of where things are with Trey Hendrickson. And I hope that me summarizing that helped explain where things are and how they got to this point. So let's talk now about the draft. And that is where we're going to spend some time discussing about options for this Bengals team. They pick at number 17, similar to where they were picking last year. And that, in my opinion, in this specific draft, seems to be a place where the Bengals could very much have their pick of a really good defensive player. This draft, from people that have really studied the draft, some of my favorite draft analysts, they've said that this draft, while it's lacking star power per se and quarterback talent, there are a lot of quality day one and day two starters in this draft. And that's where the Bengals might be able to really hit a sweet spot at pick number 17, because this draft is loaded with interior defensive linemen and edge rushers. And there's a lot that could be available based off of the 16 picks before the Bengals, because as you saw last year, people will reach for a quarterback. There will be teams that trade up to try and grab a Shedeur Sanders or a Jackson Dart. And you're not thinking that those teams are in the mix right now. But as we saw last year, these teams, if they want a quarterback, they know that they're going to have to move up and get it and secure that player for the long time. So that could be great for the Bengals, because the more these quarterbacks go, it leaves a quality defensive player available for the Bengals at 17. And you might be saying, well, Kelsey, how do you know it's going to be a defensive player? I have no idea who the Bengals are going to select. I don't even know if they know right now. There's so much that happens in the first round that you can't predict. But the reason I say I would be absolutely stunned if it wasn't a defensive player, I don't see the Bengals taking a guard, even though that's a position that they definitely need right now. I think when you look at the Bengals' immediate needs right now, and I know there are some people watching and listening saying, take the best player available. I agree with that. But there are so many good players at positions that the Bengals desperately need help at that I don't see how in this specific draft that you wouldn't take one of them. And you can even throw in the safety position. I just think that there are so many positions on the defensive side of the ball in this draft class that the Bengals could benefit. And I don't think that they could go wrong if they take an edge rusher or an interior defensive lineman. I think any of those, either of those two positions, whoever it is, and we can talk to more draft analysts in the next couple of weeks who know far more about those players than me. I think it has to be one of those positions. And I know you say you don't take positions, you take players. This draft is different because that's where the talent is. It's not a year where there's not a good edge rusher, there's not good defensive linemen. This draft is rich at those positions, and it's a position that the Bengals need to get right. And that's why I think I will be stunned if their pick at number 17 isn't a defensive player. Then there's also the scenario of, I think that the Bengals could trade back at 17, because when I was going through some mock drafts and Mel Kiper, ESPN's longtime draft analyst, released his 2-round mock draft yesterday, and I was going through it, there are a lot of really good players in his mock draft that are even still available at pick 21 or 22. And when you think about a trade back, you only feel comfortable trading back if you know that the picks you're going to get in return are going to be important and you know that you're still going to be able to get your player. And that's the part of this where there is a part of the Bengals front office that is devoted to figuring out team needs for the other teams. And so, for example, right after the Bengals picking is the Seattle Seahawks, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Broncos, the Steelers, and the Chargers. So when the Bengals front office staff looks at their team needs, you're able to kind of maybe guess who that those teams could be interested in. You also have access to knowing who they brought in for top 30 visits. If you look at what the Bucs need, what the Seahawks need, the Broncos need, what if you're, and I know this seems very unlikely because it's a division trade. You know, Bengals aren't interested in helping the Steelers get any better. But let me throw a hypothetical out there for you. What if at pick 21, the Pittsburgh Steelers right now, Mel Kiper has them taking a D tackle. But what if you say Duke Tobin gets a call at pick 14, the Indianapolis Colts are on the clock. And the Pittsburgh Steelers call and say, we want to trade up. There's a quarterback we want. What do you think? We'll give you an extra third round pick or two picks or whatever they would be willing to give the Bengals. Bengals have 6 picks this year right now. They need more. They know that it's not like the Steelers are going up to get their guy, their edge rusher, their D tackle. They know it's for a quarterback. Are you willing to look at your board and say, we like these 4 or 5 guys. All we have to do is just wait for more picks and we can get one of these 5. Say that you view these guys as 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D. And you can get extra picks. Those are the conversations that they would certainly have. And you couldn't fault them for that because they're getting more picks and they're still able to get one of their really good players. But those conversations only happen if a team is interested in trading up to 17 and B, the Bengals have multiple players. They might not. They might have here are at 17 here where we think these 5 guys, and if none of these 5 guys are there, we trade back, or we have to take this guy because we're scared that the Denver Broncos at pick 20 might take them. So those are the conversations about the trade. It will be fascinating to see, as it always is, what the Bengals are going to do if they end up taking someone, who they take, or if they decide to trade back and get more picks. So we will see. All right, that is it for just some catch up on where things stand with Trey Hendrickson, a little bit of draft talk. We will be back for the next couple of weeks with wall-to-wall coverage of predicting the draft, previewing the draft with analysts on the podcast. So if you are excited to dive in and kind of re-rack your brain around the Bengals, it's been easy with the Reds, you know, opening day and Xavier and March Madness. It hasn't been a crazy Bengals time right now in terms of news. So that quickly turns, and we will be back with all of the news and coverage here on Cincinnati.com. So thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll talk to you guys next time.